Blog Talk Radio.
10 years ago, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Gentlemen, Dave Damaschek, Sports Contraption.
And we're off. We got no monologue tonight because Mike Dell said it was too funny. So instead, we're just going straight to show. Mike Dell, are you with me?
Jerry Farish, what's going on? Big show
tonight.
What's
up, buddy?
Yeah, show. It's our big big tribute to Dave Damaschek, Sports Contraption, the best radio show ever. And I think, do we have a special guest on the line right now?
We might. Let's check.
Hello?
Hello, caller?
Hello?
Dave?
Yes?
It's Dave Damaschek, everybody. Wow, look at that.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to wipe the tears from my eyes as I heard that show open there. Very nice. Wow.
Yeah. When was the last time you heard the big Sports Contraption opening theme?
Well, I guess it would have been right around a year ago, about 53 weeks ago, I guess it was when we pulled the plug on it. Too sad.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been a year already, huh?
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, we're really something. I was out there in Pittsburgh really trying to figure out if we were going to make the move out there, and then I had my wife, and at the time we had our little six-week-old girl, baby Lemieux Crosby, with us.
Yes.
And we had to decide. It was very difficult. Of course, the return to the City of Champions was excited me to no end. But anyway, yeah, so we ended up coming back to L.A., and we never made it. But we were coming to, back to L.A. to pack our stuff up and then make the full-time move, the permanent move, back to Pittsburgh, P.A., my beloved hometown. And we just never made it back into the car, and we ended up staying in L.A. It's crazy. It's been a year already.
It seems like, and the contraption was only on the air. When did it come on the air? Well, first of all, how long do you have to talk? Are you in for the duration, or are you in a hurry?
No, I got about 90 seconds. Let's go another 3 minutes, and we'll see how it
okay.
goes.
Okay,
oh,
all right.
I'm in. I'm at least getting to, I heard, speaking of Sports Contraption, I spoke on the telephone earlier today with one Mr. Popeye, so at least
yes.
I was gonna speak with Popeye for some good reminiscing there. But, yeah, it was only, it's crazy. We started... I think it was April 2nd of last year, and it was supposed to be. It was a wonderful scene. It was a great thing. We started, I think, April 2nd, and Scott Paulson was the big time show. You know, he was 4 to 7, and we were 7 to 10, and we were supposed to. So it was the big launch of a brand new station, so on and so forth. And about 3 hours or so before our show, we were told, oh, yeah, Scott Paulson's not allowed to go on the air, so you're following basically nothing. So we knew that there were probably somewhere between 2 and 5 people listening to us on that first night from 7 to 10 on a brand-new station, and I'm counting Mo Damaschek, my mother, and my old man in that, too. They might have been the only 2 people listening on the face of the earth.
Dave, I would like to correct you. I was listening that night.
Ah, isn't that sweet? Isn't that?
Yeah, I was. I used to have a gig. I think I've told you this before, way back in the day. But I had a gig where I used to drive a shuttle van around a college campus at night.
I do remember that. I remember you saying that. It was always sad that you could never call into the contraption.
Yeah,
that's
what I wanted to mention.
You
were
right.
So kind.
You couldn't do it. Yeah.
You were so kind. You invited me because I remember I heard the show that first night and I thought, oh, this is spectacular. I can't get enough of it.
It was,
you know?
It was such a bad show.
It was awesome. No. Don't believe it. It was great.
Well, first of all, Paulson was supposed to be on, and then he wasn't, so we knew that no one was listening to us. And when I say we, I mean, I guess me and in Los Angeles and Popeye back in Pittsburgh. This was. I don't know what the setup is with you guys tonight, but it's. I can tell from the production that started the show that it's infinitely better than what we had. Listen, we did this show on an ISDN line, a little box thing, you know, that allows you to broadcast from across the country. I was in Jimmy Kimmel's third bedroom, in his house, doing on his ISDN line. Back to Pittsburgh. I'd never met Popeye and didn't meet him for another 2.5 months. He and I had never met each other, and I was sitting in that bedroom by myself. Actually, wait, scratch that. Josh the Butler passed in and out of there, too.
Jimmy Kimmel's Butler, Josh the Butler.
Yes, yeah, exactly, Josh the Butler. And, yeah, that was it, and we hit the air. And I didn't know what to do. I'd never done a show by myself, let alone for 3 hours. And as we started the show, Popeye informed me, "Oh yeah, the phones aren't working, so don't try to go to any calls." So we couldn't do any calls, and we had also been informed that they preferred that the station liked philosophically. They didn't like me talking to the board op, which was Popeye. They don't like that. Of course, I like to talk to everybody who I can see or who I know is around, but I was told you're not supposed to do that. And then as we got into it, I realized only once we had started the show did I realize, well, this is weird. Why haven't we gone to a commercial yet? When are we going to go to commercial breaks? And Popeye told me, oh, yeah, this is a new station. They haven't sold any spots, so we have to fill literally 59 minutes of every hour. They would drop one 60-second PSA in there. I had to basically talk by myself for 3 straight hours. It was unbelievable.
And you did a fine job of it, I should say. But I remember the public service announcements, and I remember everything. It was so great. And I was like, this show is the best show I've ever heard. It was awesome. Now, the only reason we started this debacle was because when the contraption went off the air, we were like, oh, I got to pay tribute to the contraption. And we started this. And I remember the first show Jerry and I did. Jerry, what was it, a half hour we did or an hour?
Yeah, I think it was a half an hour.
And it was brutal. Trying to talk for a half hour? Good Lord. It was terrible.
You're like, hey, I'm a chatterbox. I have no problem talking. And then all of a sudden when you realize that you're recording it or you're doing it live, it takes on a different sort of feel, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It changes everything. And that's why I was like, when I found out, back in those days, you're doing like 3 hours with no commercials, no guests, but basically nothing. And I was just in awe afterwards. You know, I was like, oh, my Lord, how did he do it? And so I thought it was fine.
Because we wouldn't plan anything. If we had tried, we wouldn't have been able to fill that much. We would just start talking, you know, Popeye and I, we would just start talking and see where it would go on any given night. So, yeah, it was quite a thing. But may I say, Michael Dell, what a tremendous fan I am of you, of your work. Very funny stuff, whether it's even in small things, even in our dumb, in the ESPN show in L.A., you're in the baseball league. Even your comments on the message board, very funny stuff. Always solid gold.
Thank you very much, sir.
Let me tell you, Dave, he gets all his material off of our baseball league. I usually type up something witty.
Is that right?
And whatnot.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I can tell there's something underhanded about this gal.
He's a hack.
Well, those kind words. I almost feel bad that our team crushed your team in the fantasy baseball league the first time we played.
Listen, I thought this was going to be a nice time, and right out of the gate, you start with the nastiness. Yeah, it was bad. I couldn't be more ashamed of myself for my performance in the fantasy baseball league.
Yeah, the Cool Cats aren't having too good of a year.
Well, the Cool Cats are almost always playoff teams in football and baseball, so this is a humiliation in the first degree.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but I think we have another surprise guest on the line.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Jer, do you have a caller there, Jer?
I do.
All right.
Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Oh, it's the Ed, everybody. Oh, the Ed. How's it going?
Is this the Hockey Kids?
Yeah, it's the Hockey Kids. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm all right. You guys told me to make sure that you call because of Dave, and you're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff for the show and all that.
Yeah.
Big party.
Yeah, it's going to be a real big party. And Larry's with me as usual. Larry's here. And also your buddy, the Dave. The Dave is here. Say hi to Dave.
Hey, wait. He's in Pittsburgh?
No, the Ed. I'm in L.A. too.
Oh, you just on the phone like me?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. How are you, the Ed?
I'm doing all right. I called your show last week and talked to you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember. We talked for a while. It was nice. What's going on, the Ed?
I ain't doing much. What have you been doing?
Well, I've been moving. You know, me and my lovely bride and our little baby.
You got fired from the other show again? You gotta always move. Just move. You, is your last name U-Haul?
Oh,
that's what it should be. You're always moving.
Dave, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Ed's been a regular contributor to our show lately. And a few weeks ago, he called in, and he compared you to the Ted McGinley of radio.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I am aware of that, Dad. Why, please, explain yourself. Why am I Ted McGinley?
You're the Dave.
Yeah, but,
no, but you said I'm like Ted McGinley, though, right?
Yeah, because I've been calling you, and, you know, I never seen a man on a radio show to just go from show to show to show. And every time you turn on a show, that McGinley kid is on there.
Yeah, that's true. But listen, I appreciate the comparison. Of course,
yeah.
Like Stan Gable, the star quarterback in BMOC at the Alpha Beta House there in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in your fantasy baseball league too, and I'm in the other side, and that's a ripoff. I'm telling you.
Why is it a ripoff?
Because I can't win. My team, these kids, I had a bunch of Cleveland Indians on my team at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They did so bad, I tried to call the Indians front office. They wouldn't put me through because that Travis Havner couldn't do nothing.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't hit the ball if you pitched it to him.
Yeah, I think they were pitching it to him, actually. Yeah, the Ed, I had Travis Havner on my other team, and I had to cut him. But, the Ed, do you have Grady Sizemore? He's doing real good.
No, I had what's his name? Victor Martinez. And, I had another, who was it? Listen to this, how silly this is. The shortstop, they say his name is Johnny, but he put his name J-H.
Yeah, Johnny
what?
Peralta.
That don't spell Johnny.
No, it does not. No.
Yeah, because I had a friend named Johnny growing up. It was J-O-H. This kid got J-H-O. I don't know what's going on with it.
Yeah, have you been singing much here, too? Or you been singing on the podcast here?
Yeah, he has been singing for us.
That's one of my favorite things. You're very talented. I'm also, as I've always said, you know, I'm really impressed by a man of your age, how well you do with the ladies. But besides that, I really like your ability to sing some songs, too. Have you shared with everybody? That was one of the greatest things ever you did on the Sports Contraption. Was I really enjoyed, I mean, I don't want to laugh be entertained by your misery, but I was surprised to hear that a man who does as well with the ladies as you do, they hit you quite a bit, it sounds like.
Yes, I think I just heard that. I was going through old Sports Contraptions, and I just heard that episode where the Ed, apparently you said you were hit in the face three times by women, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, three times in my life. And actually, I had a woman that I didn't even know. She hit me in the back of the neck at the bus stop.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the one? Is she the one who threw the burrito at you?
It was a taco.
No, somebody, some kids came by one time in a car and threw tacos at me.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite stories, the taco.
But that's ridiculous. I mean, why would you waste tacos like that? It don't make no sense because people got to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, people are always hungry. I'm always hungry. We got barbecues going all the time.
Yeah,
a lot of people
over for one of those. We got to get Dell and Larry to come out.
Yeah, you know what? I think sometimes I think you're just a big talker.
Why? What do you mean?
Because you always say, "Oh, come on down to the show. I got tickets for you," and nothing.
I never told you I had tickets for you, first of all, but I have invited you. It's not my fault that you and your friend haven't. We got our signals crossed. A couple of months ago, the Ed, I told him, come by the show, whatever. He went to the ESPN Zone in Anaheim. It's a restaurant, you know. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, I went to ESPN. They never even heard of him. I said, listen, he got a show. He's supposed to be on the air right now.
And
he said, well, we don't know him.
It was you were at the restaurant. You weren't at the radio. Anyway, let's just move on.
Yeah, I did. Now, the Ed, well, I was waiting for Popeye to come on. We were going to talk about some of the regular callers to the show. But the Ed was clearly the best sports contraption caller ever, right, Dave?
Well, I don't want to make his ego, I don't want to build his ego up, but yeah, I think the Ed, you know, for a guy who sometimes, especially on a sports show, it's interesting that don't take offense to this, the Ed, sometimes your facts aren't all together square. I mean, sometimes you get some of the...
You just get mad because Cleveland Browns beat Pittsburgh and you got all upset and said, oh, it's just a coincidence.
But that never happened, though, last year, the Ed. You kept saying that they were going, the Browns were going to kill the Steelers, but they didn't. And you also said that the Steelers should have drafted Brady Quinn last year, even though they already...
Should have. Did the Steelers make the playoffs last year?
They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they would have with Brady Quinn.
They made the playoffs last year, and I'm getting confused now. Yeah, 2 years ago they didn't make the playoffs.
No, last football season they didn't make no playoffs.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Remember they lost at home to the Jaguars?
Don't listen. See, if you lose in the first round at home, it doesn't count as a playoff appearance.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that either. Now, the Ed, when on the contraption, you wanted to be the Pittsburgh Steelers correspondent.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I was named as the Steeler expert because I knew everything about him.
It
was sad news, though. Dwight White passed away.
Yeah, tell you what, that was very sad, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I didn't like hearing that, you know. I didn't know what to do about it.
No, Dave.
You could do about it. But, yeah, that was one of our one of the highlights for me, along with talking to the Ed on a regular basis, was...
Why would a highlight be Dwight White dying?
No.
Dwight White dying.
No,
I was talking more about the conversation we had with him on the sports contraption.
Yeah.
Yeah, did they ever put that statue up there?
No, as far as I know. Dell, are you going to run with that? You got to make that happen, man. The deal, in particular.
That was one of your main causes on the sports contraption. You wanted to get a statue built outside of Heinz Field there of the steel curtain.
I just ran into a little bit of money. I'd put a few dollars.
Oh, that's right. Dave, I don't know if you heard. The Ed won $61,000 in Vegas last
year. Yeah, he told me about that. And I, you know, listen, I'm not calling you a liar, the Ed, but that seems like an awful lot of money. You usually only because you bet for pleasure, not to make a ton of money. I mean, you usually bet, like, you know, $5 at a time. It seems hard to believe you made $61,000.
Well, it was hard to believe from my pockets, too, because they ain't never felt that much money inside of them.
So now you're ready to put that 61 grand into the steel curtain statues outside Heinz Field?
No, not that much. I give, you know, $15, $20.
All right, well, then it'll be done.
But if you get 1,000 people together to give you $10, that's close to $100,000.
Almost.
And you'll be right on your way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's work on that. Yeah. I that was the support.
Hey, these guys told me that Popeye didn't get shot.
No, he didn't.
Because I swore that I had heard that he had got shot, but these kids told me no, he didn't get shot.
Yeah. Well, the Ed. We have a special guest on the line right now.
Oh, wonderful.
See if you can recognize this voice. Jerry is our caller there.
Caller, are you there?
Jerry, Michael, love the show.
Hey, it's Popeye, everybody. Popeye, Ryan Saylor, the old producer of the sports contraption.
Dave Damashek, how are you?
Popeye, how are you? What a darling boy he is. Hey, listen, Popeye, why don't you do something? At some point, if not right now, why don't you sing too? I love when the Ed sings, and I love when you would sing. You only sang once on the show, if I recall correctly, though, right? You were shy about it, even though you're literally a choir boy.
That's true. It was the talent show episode towards the end of the show's run, and I did make a special exception to my rule of not really.
That show was a ripoff too.
Singing.
What was your favorite thing on the show, the Ed? What was your favorite thing from the sports contraption?
Ooh, mine?
Yeah.
I just like listening to the show. because you had the mayor would call in. See, you had, like, political people. You had all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, the mayor.
The mayor.
Sports.
I think it was the mayor of PNC Park, right? That was a regular caller.
He need to clean the city up, though. That's what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. You know what I remember, the Ed? He didn't like it very much. He was one of many callers, as a matter of fact, who really were very unhappy with that unfortunate episode that started with you meeting a woman in the park, and she had a baby, and she asked you if you would watch the baby for a couple of minutes, and you said no until she offered you $20, and then you were willing to do it. Then she abandoned you with that baby. Remember that?
I know, and I've called these kids' hockey show the last couple times that they've been on, and we've yelled out to the baby that if the baby's listening, just call, you know, because I don't know where you're at, and you need to call, and so we can find you, because, you know, it really hurt my family when they took the baby away, and they was mean.
Now, Popeye. If I remember correctly, I believe the Ed, he used to blame you for calling the authorities on the baby.
It was his fault because he told the people, oh, yeah, and he lives over there, and go over there.
Now, see, I'm glad I have a chance to defend myself now. Because
ain't
because
no defense.
This brings to light a very disturbing incident that occurred not long after the contraption went off the air. And that was whenever I went outside one night and a scary-looking guy who identified himself as the Ed's son was waiting for me. And he said he was going to shoot me.
Wow.
And then he chased me all over the city of Pittsburgh. I was driving in my car, and he was chasing me. And it was very frightening, very disrespectful, and I don't appreciate it at all. I wasn't responsible at all.
I told you to stop fooling around, didn't I?
Yeah, that's not true.
He was
you didn't have to send somebody after me with a gun.
He was just supposed to rough you up a little bit. He should have. He told me he scared you.
Popeye, yeah, you guys didn't always get along. It was Popeye's fault that, I never knew that. I hope you believe me, the Ed, that I never had anything to do with getting the baby, you know, the authorities. But I did encourage you that it would have been the right thing to do, because you were given that baby was 6 months old, and first of all, you refused to change her diaper, and you always thought it was a boy, or you always called her him. But then you were also feeding the baby, you were feeding her salsa and donuts and Mountain Dew. That's
well, what? Okay, listen. Now, you got a baby. What's your baby? You always think you're just so smart. You know, you got to use what you got, because if you ain't got it, you can't use it. So how can you do it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have an answer to that. Touche.
Truer words were never said.
I know, you know, Mountain Dews, Tootsie Rolls, chicken wings, those are stuff that's in my house. You got to give them what you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think...
And the baby, you should see that baby eat mashed potatoes. That was like the best thing I ever seen, and not a tear to my eye. Mm-hmm. That baby act like he had never ate mashed potatoes before.
Yeah, but it was a girl, though, so it was a she.
I know he did.
Now, speaking of the talent show where Popeye sang... And I never did hear that, Popeye, by the way. I missed that part of it. But so it would be nice if you could sing maybe a little later. But the Ed, during the talent show portion of the sports contraption, you did impersonations. Do you remember that?
Yeah, listen, I won, and then some crazy lady playing a piano and driving a cab at the same time. It didn't make no sense. How do you do that?
Yeah, that was Elaine the cab driver, another regular caller.
She was a wonderful one.
I think what caught the Ed in the competition was the fact that his magic trick didn't go over really well.
Well, that was Dave's fault.
Yeah,
Dave
screwed up the magic trick.
Yeah, how do you screw up magic trick when he's supposed to know what to do on it? It's only magic if it's magic.
Well, people love it. There's no question that magic tricks on the radio are dynamite. But but that was good. But you're... impressions also, you know, that's the other thing. You thought you won, but they really, they weren't really all that good.
No. You know how I know that they were the greatest?
How?
Because you knew everybody I was impersonating.
Why don't you do one now?
So, you didn't even know that lady's song.
Well,
she was playing a bunch of Jumbo Lumber.
She sat down at the piano. Remember that? That was lovely. She was...
She was spinning and he was like, I ain't got no idea what that is. But when I did mine, you said, that's how it goes down. How could I lose? How could I lose?
Do co-sell now.
What?
Let's hear some co-sell right now, or whoever you want to do. Let's see if we can get it.
No, I'm going to do another one, see if you can tell who it is.
Okay.
Let me see. Hold on. Let me clear my throat. Hold on.
Take your time. We'll wait.
He's at bat right now for the home run derby. He hit it. It's back. He's gone.
It's Chris Berman.
See, look at that. Look at that. Greatest ever. See, you guys just don't understand things
that
I do. Huh?
But it doesn't sound anything like him, though. You understand that. I mean, you took
no,
the way
no,
you
no. See,
the
listen,
words.
Stop. You're just jealous of the situation that happens.
That is, well,
these people
right.
know. I'll do one more for you, and that's
okay.
it.
Okay.
I'm the greatest. No one's prettier than me. I sting like a butterfly, and I float like a bee.
It's Muhammad Ali.
Look at that.
Wow,
you're saying their words, though, Ed. You don't sound like them. You're just saying their words.
I don't. Well, then how did he know what it was?
I knew right away. You painted a beautiful word picture in my mind of Muhammad Ali.
See, look at that. I take it back.
I guess I
wish I'd get my prize then, because I still didn't get it.
Yeah, Dave, are you ever going to give the Ed a prize? I think you owe him some prizes, don't you?
You know, again, I don't know that the Ed has ever won anything on any of the shows that he's called into where I've been working.
No, you gave me the pizza. You gave me a pizza.
Just because I was being nice, didn't win anything.
Pizza. But I don't get airline tickets. Everybody else calls get airline tickets, rental cars, free rent paid and all that. I don't get nothing.
They do? But you have to win. The point is you have to win something.
Speaking of people owing people something, you gave me a tip for the Kentucky Derby. you told me to put $10 down on like Winston Steel or something like that, and I did, and he didn't.
Ain't no horse called Buns of Steel for one, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You owe me $10.
Who's this talking?
It's Popeye.
It's Popeye.
No, you're lying. you're always telling stories. You're a storyteller.
Just like
I bet you. Are you related? You probably related to Dr. Zeus.
Ouch.
I'm not familiar with Dr. Zeus.
No. Well, let's hear more about the Dave, because the Dave, we haven't, don't nobody get to talk to him. Dave, just talk. Let's hear your voice.
Yeah, let's get into more about the Popeye. Before you got here, Popeye, we were talking about the early days of the contraption, like the very first week. And I was telling Dave how I was listening to that very first show, and I thought it was wonderful. Now, Popeye, what are your memories of the beginning of the contraption?
I don't have many memories from that first show. I've kind of blocked off that portion of my life.
That was the worst, wasn't it, Popeye? That was the worst night. That was the worst 3 hours. Those 3 hours rank among probably the 20 worst hours of my life.
it was
excruciating.
Well, that begs the question, though. What were the other 17? That makes me think right away. What were the other 17 hours?
Oh, they have to do with women, I'm going to say. Yeah,
okay,
awesome.
All right.
Will this hour count as one?
Yes.
No, what a thing. They got to talk to Popeye and the Ed and finally meet over the telephone. Dell. So what a thing.
All right, so Popeye, there were a lot of technical difficulties that first night, as Dave already mentioned. But I thought that back then the show wasn't even called Sports Contraption. What was it going by back then? What was the name it was being called?
It was, I believe it was just the Dave Damashek show.
Yeah, but we did that. We changed it. We came up with Sports Contraption either that night. Wasn't it that night? It somehow I said something about that because George Michael's Sports Machine had just gone off the air a couple of weeks before, and so I said something like, "Well, that's gone. So now this should be our new. It's not the new Sports Machine. Let's call it the Sports Contraption," and then the next day we just went with that as the show name, right? Wasn't that how it went?
I think so.
So you were soliciting people's opinions that night, and you had several guests there with you, who were chiming in, and I believe it was settled by the end of the night that would be the actual name of the show.
Yeah, but the worst thing was, as I mentioned earlier, was that there was one, over the course of an hour, there was one 60-second PSA that would play, and I literally didn't have time to go. I could not go and make water. I didn't have enough time because I was the only voice on the show. I couldn't go to the bathroom for an entire 3 hours. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, you and me both.
You got to learn how to hold it.
I had a catheter hooked up to me. So I just kind of went in a bag on the floor there, and that was priority number one. The day following the first show was to make sure that we had a few more spots scheduled so that we could take a breather there during the commercial breaks.
Oh, it's just the worst. And then but the phones weren't working that night, but then the next night they were fixed. But you would have to instant message me on a computer to tell me somebody was on the phone. Even that was the worst setup in the history of radio. It was just terrible. I don't know how we got through those first few weeks.
Really,
I was glad to
really
see.
Was.
I was glad to see when you went to California, you didn't take Popeye with you.
Why? Sure, you were happy.
He's mean sometimes.
Oh,
all those kids that answer your phones are just mean. You got that new one. That new one, all she does is yell at me. Huh?
No, it's a guy. That's a guy who answers the phone now. He has a very deep voice, Drew Belzer. I don't know why you think that's a very
I'd like to
voice
make
guy.
Her tap out in a cage fight. Popeye, too, because Popeye's always talking a lot of trash, too, so...
Popeye is as mild-mannered a guy as there is. I don't remember him ever challenging you to a fight.
Hey, someone told me he tried to say he graduated high school. I said, that's got to be a lie.
I think Popeye graduated high school.
What school? Name? Quick! What school? He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. What year?
98.
Yeah, right. 98. Come on now.
V8, you
what
should be an attorney. You're really good on the cross examinations.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe, you know what? In LA, you know, maybe we could pull some strings for you. That'd be great if we could get you on like a Law and Order type show.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You'd be dynamite as the star litigator, right?
I could have a judge show. You watch them judge shows?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you'd be great as that, the ad.
Did you watch Mari Povich today?
I know, I didn't see it.
This girl tested six guys with none of them the baby daddy. None of them.
That's unfortunate. But, hey, now that you bring up the TV, I should mention that one of my favorite bits from the old Sports Contraption days, Hypothetical Horatio.
Ah, yeah. Marvelous game, yeah. Somebody told me the other day, I didn't see the season finale of CSI Miami. Somebody told me that... Horatio Cain got shot in the eye. And,
really?
I mean, what's going to happen? What happens if he's dead? Do we continue with the bit? That's the question.
So I've never been shot, but I would think the eye would be a place you don't want to be shot.
No, like Mo Green at the end of The Godfather,
yes.
If you remember that.
That's very true.
Didn't work
now,
out, man.
We have a hockey-themed hypothetical Horatio set up to go if you'd like to play a little Horatio right now, Dave.
Wow. All right. Let's give it a shot. Who are the contestants? Are the Ed and Popeye and myself?
Yeah, you Ed and Popeye can do it. Now, Larry, I think you got the play the intro. I think we have an intro for Horatio set up.
Oh,
we ripped it right off your show. Go ahead.
Think you can deliver a one-liner like CSI Miami's Horatio Cain? It's time to play Hypothetical Horatio, the game that lets you fill the shoes of TV's most ridiculous character.
Yeah, Dave, do you want to explain the bit? It's just based on CSI Miami.
and Horatio.
Yeah,
Pitt.
Listen, it's a he's a David Caruso, who you know from NYPD Blue in the first year, the redhead guy. He's a big blowhard of a guy. He's the most ridiculous over actor in history, and his best thing is right at the beginning of every episode. He and his partner they're standing over the body, Frank, and Frank tells them the details. The one we always did was let's get the ball rolling here. We'll throw this one at the Ed here, just see how he does here. So just here's a hypothetical situation. We would throw out the situation, and then I play the role of Frank, and then the contestants, they try to come up with it, what they think Caruso might say there, what Horatio Caine might say there. And if you do it well, then you hear the Roger Daltrey scream from Won't Get Fooled Again.
And I think we have that ready to go. We have it queued up
fantastic.
And ready to go.
All right, so the Ed, let me throw this one at you then. The hypothetical situation is there's a surfer. He's dead on the at the shore there, and foul play, the cause of death. Frank says, this poor kid got killed. All he did was come out for a day of surfing. What do you think Horatio Caine might say there, the Ed?
You got two sticks and a gun, you can't make biscuits.
That's solid gold. In fact, I think that one would work for every single murder in the history of the show. That's great. I was thinking more along the lines of, well, it looks like he caught the killer wave.
Yeah, I guess
I don't understand it. I don't understand. This is always the one that confuses me.
But Blog Talk Radio is a little slow on the screen there. But we
that
get
game,
the idea.
That game always confused me.
Yeah,
I don't
apparently.
Understand it.
Well, it's a hard game. Yeah, it's tough to do. It's tough to do well.
If you don't ain't got dice or cards, it's hard to play.
Yes, it is. All right, Larry, you've got a scenario there about a bowling alley manager, I believe.
Right.
Read it off for us.
All right, here we go. A bowling alley manager is found dead, his legs literally ripped from his body. Frank says, "This is a grisly one, Horatio. This poor guy was found strewn across the lane. Someone or something pulled his legs apart like a wishbone." What would Horatio Caine say?
Anybody?
Popeye, why don't you tackle this one first?
Oh, boy.
And you can't say anything about biscuits or something like that. Cause...
I got an answer for this one.
All right. Ed, do you want to give your answer? Or... Well, Popeye,
I got one.
Okay.
Because you said it's a bowling alley, right?
Yes.
Let me see you pick up that spare.
Ooh, very, very close. Very close. I don't know. I probably wouldn't have given it the thumbs up. That's very good, Ed. Very good.
I see. I'll go something along those lines, actually. I hope he can pick up a couple of pins.
Ooh.
Wait, that's not exactly right. There's something there with the spare. I hope he can get the spare pins there. Pick up the spare pins.
That's cool. That's very good as well. Not too bad. Popeye, any ideas?
It's a good thing he still has his balls.
that's not too shabby either. That's pretty
very
good.
Very good. That's a good one, the Popeye. I think Popeye's our winner, right?
Well, here's the one I had. Here's the one I had. You know, because I never like to give a scenario without having the answer like
sure,
you did.
Sure, so, that's the way to do
right.
it.
So I think Horatio would say, "Well, Frank, it looks like the murderer left me a tough split."
That's just what I said.
Yeah, there it is. All right. I was waiting for the stream. So you said spare, the Ed. You said spare.
A spare, a split. It all starts with an S and a P.
I'm with the Ed. I think there's something that, I don't have the exact, I don't have it exactly
I think
right,
I,
but people call
I think
legs
I won that
pins.
One.
People call legs pins and the bowling pins and then spare pins. There's got to be something there, right?
Yeah, I never thought of the pins and the legs thing. I never made that connection. All right, I think we got one more, the hockey-related one, Jer.
Yes.
All right, let's fire this one off real quick.
Here we go. Chris Chelios is found dead outside Joe Louis Arena. Frank says, "There's no murder weapon, no sign of struggle. Horatio, what could have happened? Do you think it's murder?" What would Horatio Caine say?
Anybody?
I sure wish hockey was a sport.
Yeah, yeah. Hockey is a sport, the end. It is a sport.
How about I don't know what happened here, but this guy's going to the box.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's a good one.
Yeah, the major penalty. But, you know, by the way, Chris Chelios, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Do you remember when he said after the Penguins beat them in 92, beat those Hawks in 92, in the off season, he said, we were too deferential to 66 Lemieux. Next time we play him, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth.
I can't stand Chris Chelios. LCS Hockey's made a long career off just making fun of Chris Chelios. And I don't know if you remember this, Dave, but after that season, when the Pens won the second Stanley Cup there in 92, in the NHL Awards banquet that season, they announced the first-team All-Stars, and Lemieux was a first-team All-Star, so he went up on stage, and they announced the other ones, and Chris Chelios was also a first-team All-Star, and when he came on stage, he wanted to shake Lemieux's hand.
What?
Yeah.
Is that right? What a scumbag. I see that guy out in L.A., here all the time with Laird Hamilton, his best buddy.
Ugh.
You know, the surfer guy?
Yeah.
They're always palling around, these two, in Malibu out here. And he's always got a deep, deep, dark tan. He's always really tan. And by the way, he's like 50, he's 48 or whatever he is.
Yes.
And he runs off with no pride whatsoever after they won the cup in the igloo. And runs off and puts his skates on as though he had anything to do with them winning the cup that year.
Exactly. Oh, was I irate about that. Oh.
Terrible. Yeah,
I can't stand
your
chili.
Hey, listen, did you see that hockey story today? The guy had the cup and the baby pooped in it.
No, I did not see that.
Yes, I swear to you. Listen, watch. ESP and the kid from the – what team was that, the one? The Red Wings?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He brought the cup home. He set his daughter in it, and she did number two.
Wow. That sounds, how did we miss
you
that
think,
one, Larry?
You know what? You think I'm playing? You think I'm joking? That
no.
is a true, true, super true story with a capital T.
I confirm that. I heard that story as well.
Wow.
Hey, look, I told you everything I tell you, you got to know.
Popeye, do you know who it was? I'll have to look this up.
I can't recall.
Just
off
put
off
it,
my head.
Just put it. Listen, look, go on the Google thing because I'll be doing that on a computer now. Just put hockey and poop.
Hockey and poop. Oddly enough, I make that search every night anyway, so it won't be a problem.
The ad. So the ad. When did you get to be so computer savvy, by the way?
My son bought a computer. You know, usually because it's right in the living room by the television. So they always say, like, go to divorcecourt.com and all that stuff like that. And
oh,
you go there, you can buy, like, coffee mugs and all kinds. I got a – my son gave me this debit card. He said, but he said, ain't no money on it. When you get your check, you go put money on it. Then you use it, and it's like a credit card. He's seen it on something, some loan place that get this card or something, and they put, like, whatever character or whatever you want on it. I got the – mine is the Judge Mathis one. It's got his picture right on there, but it's got the Visa logo, too. And you can use it and do whatever you want to do with it.
Now, the Ed, have you told your son that you won $61,000 yet?
He knows I won some money.
Uh-huh.
He just don't know how much.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, well, you know, if I tell him, see, he asked me the other day, why did I buy a new winter coat? And I said, well, it was on sale. And he said, well, it's not even, he said, California don't get that cold. And I said, well, I don't know how long we're going to live here, because his job, move him around. So you never know what's going to happen.
Speaking of that, it seems like he's a nice guy. And, you know, he was out in Pittsburgh because of work and everything. And he always is nice enough to put a roof over your head. Don't you think it would be nice to give him a little bit of money? It seems like...
Well, listen, I have to pay. Listen, I get my check, and I got to pay 10% of every single bill that comes in that house. Every single one.
Yeah, but that's your
power
one,
bill.
Two,
so power bill was $142 last month. I had to pay 10%.
Huh. Why don't you pay 50%?
Well, I don't have that much money.
Oh, all right. But don't you have that much money now?
Ed, where does your money come from on a monthly basis?
I get checks. I had a job. My son got me a job with him for a little bit, but I ain't doing it now.
Yeah, but before that, the government was giving you checks. That was something that was
I still get two of those.
Yeah, but on the sports contraption, you would always talk about that you would get government checks, but what exactly would the government be giving
you? I'm American.
Huh. I'm an American.
So whenever you're American, you just file for the money. They send it on to you.
Huh.
Yep. Two of them.
Larry, make a note. I got to look into this.
Yeah, I'm right. My right address.
Yeah. Sounds like a good deal.
It comes right with your address on it. Everything's on it.
Wow, sweet. We got away from the Horatio, but basically the punchline to the Chris Chelios one was...
Oh, right.
Sorry about that.
No, don't worry.
I didn't have a good one.
Well, just the punchline is, Horatio, is it murder? Do you think it's murder? And then Horatio Cain would say, no, I think it's just old age. Go ahead and scream. There you go. All right. All right. The other big famous regular bit you had, Dave, the jerk list.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody about the jerk list?
First of all, you can hear it now. It's the sports guy, Bill Simmons, was nice enough. I was on his podcast a week ago today, actually, and I did the jerk list there, and I'm going to be doing it every month on his show.
That's good news. That's good news.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's a good place for it, I think. But by the way, you're not. You know what's weird? On the internet, you're not allowed to play. You're not allowed to play the Star Wars music and the Lord of the Rings music and all that, which is a shame. But anyway.
Well, we do it. I mean, who's going to stop us, you know? But I understand Bill Simmons being yellow and everything. He doesn't want to, but, you know.
So, the society we live in is a wonderful place for the most part, but there are jerks and creeps who bring it down. And so with the Han Solo Edition blaster, try to rectify these matters by shooting them with the Han Solo Edition blaster. And I have had a number of marksmen over the years, my assassins, basically, you know, the guys who I don't actually pull the trigger. I just I have someone else do it. And Popeye, I have to say, was one of the better marksmen I've had, except he was a little mouthy. He would always bring up moral issues. He had moral functions about certain people. Remember that, Popeye?
Yeah, you asked me to shoot God.
Yeah, well, so what? when the jerk list is going on, I am God, don't you see?
Well, then wouldn't I be shooting you?
Huh.
All right.
Never thought of that.
Point to Popeye this time around.
Well,
now, I did shoot myself several times. I think that counts for something.
I guess that's true, yeah. But, we do have to take down all the jerks and creeps of society, and I do it with pleasure. It's not, you know, listen, it's not some desire to injure other people, but, you know, I have to use my lofty perch in life, not unlike yourself, Del. I encourage you to do the same thing, to do some good in the world. You know, don't be one of these Michael Jordan types who just is an empty corporate shill. Use your power to do some good in the world. That's what the jerk list is about.
Well, Dave, I don't know if you know this, but LCS Hockey, we're all about the kids.
I didn't know that. I wasn't aware. Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
Oh, that's good. All right.
what are you doing for the kids, though, Dale?
We're still deciding on that, but usually
you're just all about them, though. Okay.
Yeah, we're just all about the kids. All about the kids.
Great.
But, Dave, Popeye was here earlier. He was on our show a couple times, and the one time he did leave the Han Solo blaster here.
You're kidding me.
So we have it ready to go. There it is. So if
there's
any jerks or creeps you'd like to nominate real quick, Larry here, or Jerry, he can shoot the little blaster off for you.
Some jerks and creeps for you that need to be – all right. You know what? As a matter of fact, I was watching the All-Star game, not even the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby the other night. And I thought that was the talk – watch it. I assume everybody watched it with Josh Hamilton, right?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, was the hyperbole at an all-time high watching that the other night? that this is one of the great sporting events in the history of mankind is the way they sort of made it sound. It's a carnival event. An old man is lobbing. Yeah, that's how you know it's not a real sporting event. Is that you had a 71-year-old man throwing the ball in there to Josh Hamilton, and he's hitting home runs, and they're declaring, watching this thing, Yankee Stadium has seen many magical moments, but this ranks right up there at the top. Really? Do you think the people in the crowd would agree with you on that? You think people who were there to see Reggie Jackson hit the three home runs in 1977 would count Josh Hamilton, the Texas Ranger, hitting home runs in batting practice, in glorified batting practice, up there with the World Series clinching three home run performance by that, or Roger Maris hitting 61, or Babe Ruth hitting 60, or any of the other things? Yeah, the guy from the Texas Rangers hitting home runs in batting practice. That's one of the great moments in Yankee Stadium history. That was ridiculous. And the other thing, the more thing I find egregious, is the guy was on the junk, right? I mean, the guy was on the junk. In our society, in our politically correct society, this now makes you a hero, apparently, if you kick. You know, if you kick for a while, your drug habit, now you are to be glorified, and shame the devil if you ever say anything bad about the fact that he's no longer on the crack. This is and by the way, there are people fighting in Iraq as we speak right now, but Josh Hamilton, the multimillionaire who smoked crack, is a hero who should be looked up to. This is a storybook ending. Anybody who says that about Josh Hamilton, anybody who glorifies people who are on the junk or are temporarily off the junk and associate that with heroism, jerks.
There you go.
Nice job there. But yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it? Watching that thing, I really. The Ed, what about that in your world? What do you know about that? You know, the guy's smoking crack and now he's off of it, and now we're supposed to regard him as some sort of a hero, right? That's a little weird, isn't it?
Hey, I don't think he should be no hero to nobody. Mm-hmm. You know, that guy, every time somebody does something bad, they give you a second chance. I'm tired of these second chances. Sometimes they give him 5-6 chances. Everybody wants, you know, oh, you mess up. They just smack him on the mouth. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. Everybody, you should just, you know, they act like it's their right to play ball. You know, you don't have no right, like Barry Bonds. He talking about, oh, it's conclusion and all this. They don't want all the teams to get me. Oh yeah, they're collusion and all this stuff. And then, but you know what? I can't go back to my old job and say, hey, you gotta hire me back. They ain't going to. They don't like me. If they don't like it, they're not going to bring you back. I can't go in there. What if I went in there and said, listen, the Dave is going to represent me and so are these hockey kids, and they say, you gotta put him back to work. That's silliness. You can't. Every job can't be like that. You know, if you want to play, and then like the Brett Favre on the Packers, he want to get traded or he want to get released. I'd trade him to Buffalo. That's what I'd do. I'd trade him as far away from that can't hurt the Packers. Just trade him. Say, listen, we give you like $4,500 and some candy and go.
Candy. Wow, that's a good deal. But that's why I like having the Ed around. He puts everything in perspective.
Yeah, really, you really do. He's been around longer than we have, and so, right, he has a certain wisdom that comes with the years. But
they act like those Josh Hamilton home runs counted or something. They were like, he hit 28 home runs. Dave Kingman, they never did that.
Yeah,
I mean, really, am I right that was one of the most grossly overstated things you've seen in sports? It was the home run derby. Who cares? What does that mean in any this was a storybook night here at Yankee Stadium. Was that one
it's
of
worse than a slam dunk contest.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the other thing is with the home run derby contest, as a side note, is after about 20 minutes of it, it becomes one of the most tedious, boring things you've ever looked at in your life.
They should say you got to come up with creative ways to hit a home run, like hit it with a wiffle ball bat with a hard ball, and see that?
Yeah,
or have them sit down and hit it. or hit it with
head.
One knee or something, you know, do something. You
I
know,
agree.
Kick,
my opinion.
Kick it or
something. I think that Josh Hamilton, he should get a tattoo.
Yeah, I think he has a few.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he has a couple. Hey, I think we have another, Jared, do we still have another caller on the line waiting to get in?
Yeah, we do have a call.
All right, we're loaded up. We're just bringing everyone on at once, so it's going to get a mess. Everyone's going to be talking over each other, I'm sure. But we have another special guest. Go ahead, Larry. Bring him on.
Caller, are you there? Hello?
Okay, I think the caller went away.
All right. Well, we'll check back in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I think Cousin Brandon's on the line. We'll have to check back.
Oh, he must have fallen asleep.
Yeah. We'll
Cousin Brandon, we'll talk about that. See, Popeye, you didn't make – that's the one thing. You didn't make very many friends during the 3 months of the sports contraption. The ad apparently has raw feelings about you, and you and Cousin Brandon.
No, I don't like him. I don't like him.
Oh, come
right,
on.
Right, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. You didn't like him when I said you have raw feelings for him.
Well, I would like for this show to be like, you know, to bring the Ed and Popeye together. I would like to see you guys leave as friends after tonight. What
yeah,
do you
I
think?
Was friends.
Maybe,
we're
you know
friends.
What? Maybe you could sing, you know, a nice song, a nice duet, like Islands in the Stream. Or something.
We are the world. We are the children. For one,
on,
made a better day. Let's start giving. There's a choice you're making, and then making our own wise. It's true, you make a better day, everybody.
This is the olive branch.
Yeah,
this is right, the Ed's voice is extending the olive branch.
Yeah, I like Papa. He ain't a bad kid. He don't do all the bad things that people say he does.
There's a lot of talk about the Ed about the Popeye doing bad stuff to people. That is his reputation all over the country.
Why can't we be friends?
Why can't we be friends?
Wow, it was like a chorus of angels.
want me to tell you why we can't be friends?
Yeah.
Why not?
No, I'll be friends. I'm just joking.
It's a funny joke.
All right, Larry, should we try Cousin Brandon again? Is he still there?
Well, they just hung up. All right, hold on. They're back. All right,
okay.
Let's see if they're there this time. Here we go.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Hello?
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 Who is this? This doesn't sound like Cousin Brandon.
Keep her on. Keep her on. It sounds like a girl.
Yeah, hey.
This is my bride?
It's intern Aaron.
Oh,
I thought it was my wife. Oh, even better.
That's my girl.
It's Aaron the intern, everybody. Aaron the intern. Is that really you?
It is me.
Wow, there you go. Aaron the intern. Popeye, why don't you tell us about Aaron the intern? Remind everyone what she did on the sports contraption.
She's beautiful.
Aaron the intern was a huge help to me. I had hired an intern originally, and it didn't turn out very well. The situation kind of soured.
Was that Elliot?
The reason why that didn't really work out was apparently he wasn't the right gender.
Oh, that's right.
So my next attempt at hiring an intern.
Well, why I don't understand where we went wrong in the first place when I said you know get a nice young student someone, but make it a foxy woman.
Yeah, then he hired a gay kid. That was
But then you struck gold with the lovely Aaron the intern. How are you, Aaron the intern?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not so bad. What's new with you? What are you doing with yourself these days?
I work for ESPN in Bristol.
Wow.
You're kidding me.
No.
How about that? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's actually where I am right now.
What are you doing there?
I'm a production assistant.
Unbelievable. What for what sort of thing? Sports Center or what?
Actually in the radio department. I do the board for different shows and all that kind of stuff.
What shows?
Well, mainly on the weekends I'm with Eric Casilius and Andy Gresh and John Kincaid. And during the week, I do actually All Night with Jason Smith and Game Night with either Ryan Russillo or Freddie Coleman. So
how about that? Well, Jason Smith, I see him every day over there in Los Angeles at the ESPN station.
So I've heard. I've talked to him about you.
Is that right? And do you disparage me?
He was supposed to tell you I say hello.
Well, he never has. He never has, that creep.
Aw.
I'll take this up with him as soon as possible. I'd like to think that, Aaron, that your experience of interviewing some of Pittsburgh's biggest name athletes helped get you to ESPN in Bristol, right?
I think it did, totally.
It's funny you mention that, Dave, because I believe we have an audio clip of Aaron interviewing you, and you were pretending to be Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just for clarification, yeah. She wouldn't actually – Aaron didn't know this at the time, but she wasn't actually talking to Ben Roethlisberger or Geno Malkin or any of those guys.
No.
I was pretending to be them. Yeah, no, I was just pretending.
Why did you ever tell me that?
Well, because I thought it would help you, you know, help you deal with the nerves and everything else to think this really is Ben Roethlisberger. So, yeah, so I hope it – I mean, obviously it did work out for you. Great.
It did. It helped me out.
Well, let's hear some of it.
Yeah, Larry, do you have the – I think it goes about 40 seconds, so just everyone relax and enjoy the big clip. Larry, do you have it ready to go? Larry? I think we lost Larry. Larry?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Is it twice she said? Is that the
No. Oh, no. Shh, keep that secret.
All right. The greatest. Many regards. It's the greatest moment in the history of sports contraption.
I believe it is a contraption. Big Ben.
Uh-huh.
Do you have that?
Big Ben. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay,
here we go.
Here we go.
All right, so a lot of people have been focusing on the mistakes you've been making. How do you deal with
that? How dare? Didn't I just tell you I don't want to talk about this crap?
Well, it's something...
You think just because you're pretty you can talk, you can say anything you want to me? Not here. I run this town, baby.
Well, I'm not criticizing you myself. I'm just asking you how you deal with it.
Oh, you're not criticizing me.
No.
So then you like me.
I didn't say that. I was just trying to ask you a question.
Want to show me how much you like me? I'd like to show you how much I like you, baby.
I don't think that's appropriate.
I run this town, woman. I tell you how it's going to be. I give you the score.
I don't think that's going to get me very far.
Oh, I'll take you very far. I'll take you all the way up to cloud 9, baby.
Wow, that was just magic. No, Aaron...
That's how Roethlisberger deals with people, so that really was good for you.
He sounded kind of cranky that day.
Mm.
I did? Or Ben
did? No, he did.
He was just vibing to a lovely reporter who was in front of him, that's all.
Now, Aaron, do you think the experience of interviewing Ben Roethlisberger and Sidney Crosby, as Dave said, did that get you ready to work for ESPN? Has that made you a better reporter?
It's got me prepared, hopefully one day to actually do it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. What a lovely woman that Aaron is.
I hope an ugly scene like that has never taken place in real life with you. Like, no athlete has been that rude or anything.
No, not yet. And hopefully never.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yes, I will.
Aaron,
wish she was on SportsCenter right now.
Yeah, the end.
I was supposed to go on a date with her, and then
she's
the prettiest girl I had ever seen, because a couple of times I went down to the radio station and in the parking lot, she got in the car and I looked at her.
Now, wait a minute.
But I didn't say nothing to her.
Aaron the intern, is that true? Do you remember the Ed? Aaron the intern, do you remember the Ed?
I remember talking to the Ed, but I've never actually met the Ed.
I didn't come up to you. I just looked at you across the way. I said, goodness gracious.
Okay.
Wow. Aaron, the intern, thank you so much for stopping by. You really added to the evening. But I'm afraid we have to let you go because we got Cousin Brandon waiting on the line.
Aaron, okay. What a pleasure to hear things are going so well for you. I couldn't be happier to hear that.
Thanks. Well, it was great talking to you.
Good to talk to you. Best wishes to you, and I'll speak to you through Jason Smith in the near future.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Be well.
There she goes, Aaron the intern. Thanks, Aaron the intern. Well, how nice for her to stop by. And now, Larry, do we have Cousin Brandon on the line?
I believe we do. Let's make sure. Cousin Brandon, are you there?
I am here. How is everyone tonight?
Hey, it's Cousin Brandon. Hey, Brandon, we're here. We got a full boat. We got the Ed, we got Popeye, and we got Cousin Dave. So,
I didn't know they were all going to be on tonight. I wouldn't bother.
Cousin
Brandon, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing well. Yourself?
Oh, not so bad, not so bad.
Good, good. Glad to hear it.
Good evening,
Tech
and Brandon.
How are you?
There they are, the arch nemesis from the sports contraption.
Popeye
and Brandon. You could already hear the sarcastic hello in his voice. He just doesn't care for me, and that's fine. I don't. Yeah.
Not at all. I thought we patched things up there towards the end.
Think what you like.
All right, we should update everyone on this who doesn't remember. We talked about Popeye. We talked to Popeye about this before, but he used to have a fierce rivalry with Cousin Brandon, and I think it all stemmed at first from your musical taste. Is that right, Popeye?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
that's the way it started. Cousin Brandon was one of the original contributors to the show. First, simultaneously as poet laureate and chief musical director, and the guy picked some wonderful songs. I mean, some really good music, some good stuff, some tasteful stuff. Turned me on to some good stuff. It was just wonderful. And then I decided to pick a couple of my musical offerings and go ahead and try to contribute in some way to the creative process of the show. And what happened after that was I got ridiculed. I got shot down. I got made fun of and really abused for putting myself out there for taking a chance, for one.
What were those
out.
Songs, though? I was with Brandon on this. Your songs were terrible.
It was a lot of German techno, if I recall, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I want to say Hasselhoff was a major influence, for instance, and Kraftwerk. And it was shameful stuff, really. And the way I see it is this. I think a certain sort of jealousy reared its ugly head and decided, his music's great, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I can do him one better. And I'm going to start to bring in music of my own and then hence try to embarrass him. And look, Popeye, it's sad.
I never attempted to best you. I attempted only to contribute to the glory of the show. And
yeah,
I
but
was,
then
I
but then what happened
savagely.
Was Brandon was the poet laureate of the show, and he shamed you. He ridiculed you in rhyme. And you didn't like that, and then you fired back, and that was a stunning moment in sports contraption history when Popeye, in a duel, a head-to-head poetry duel, really, I think a lot of people, I think the judges really felt like Popeye stole it in one of the great upsets in sports history of the, or at least of the 21st century. Popeye came in. You had the beatnik beat in the background and everything. You remember that, Brandon?
Oh, I remember. I remember it quite well, actually.
This is a man who has a master's in creative writing, and Popeye destroyed him with the poem. Did you hear that one, Dell?
Yeah, we actually ran a clip of it before. Larry, I don't know if we still have it on the soundboard there. Do you see it anywhere?
Give me one second.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk. It was great. A lot of good sports things about how Brandon was the Baltimore Colts, and you were going to be Johnny Unitas. You were going to be Joe Namath pulling the upset, and you were the U.S. hockey team beating the Soviets. It was really wonderful stuff.
And I just remember the last line of the poem, Popeye told Brandon to go spit.
Like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, one of the most, you know, so many of these catchphrases, I'll be back, and so on and so forth. You know, they worked their way into the American lexicon. How is it possible that ghost spit didn't catch on?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's it. When someone gets you angry in the world, you know, you go ahead, make my day, all that sort of nonsense. Forget that. Glover used to say that, but ghost spit, what a thing. Ghost spit, how dismissive.
What I don't understand, though, explain it to me maybe, though, because most of these like euphemisms and these phrases, if you actually stop to think about them, there is a certain sensibility to them. In other words, they do make sense. I don't actually understand what is to be implied by ghost spit. What are you telling someone to do? I don't get the insult there. I don't understand the intent.
It's a meaningless deed. Go spit, you know. Listen, for all I care, go spit.
Yeah. Okay. Point exactly. That's okay.
It's a exactly right. It's as dismissive a thing as as you could say to somebody. Go tell them to go do something useless.
And that cousin Brandon,
for instance. Okay, but for instance, Vonnegut in his book Slapstick, you know, has the line about go take a flying F at a rolling donut, go take a flying F at the moon. You know, it's fame by now. I'm sure most of you heard something. And there's an action involved. He's telling you to do something. I understand. But what is go spit? I don't get it, though. It is a great line, but I don't understand it.
I think spitting is just a worthless act. And like Dave said, he's just saying, I don't care what you do. Just go spit, you know. It means nothing to me. Just go. Huh. Get away from me.
What do you think?
How did Cousin Brandon learn to make all them words rhyme like that?
Yes.
Did you take rhyming in school, or? Because you come up with like the best stuff I ever heard in my life. You should have like one of them rap album things.
Wow,
you
know? That's an idea.
Huh. Well, yeah, I don't think you would call it rapping, but recently you did a little. I guess it was sort of like a rap about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Why don't you share that right now?
He sang it on our show before, Dave. So,
great. Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
yeah. Do you want to sing it a little bit right now about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
What, the song that I sang before?
Yes.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, get your hands out my cookie jar. You too tall to drive a car. I don't remember what I said after that stuff.
Well, but that's all right.
I gotta write that down. But this kid, your cousin Brandon, he got like rhymes. Look, I'll make another one. He got rhymes galore, rhymes that I never even heard before.
Wow, that was a beauty. well, yet I think we may have a special treat for you because cousin Brandon, did you have time to craft a sports contraption themed poem?
I did, and I'll be honest with you, I wrote it in an hour ago.
Wow, this is something.
I just wrote it.
Great.
All right, yeah, everybody enjoy this. Cousin Brandon, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. Okay, bear with me. It's a little long-winded. So. It was 7 p.m. East Coast time when Dave got on the mic to tell the sports contraption listeners of the pizza toppings he liked and to yell at Josh the butler, who never brought Dave any food, while an nincompoop ship and ineptitude in the studio ensued. That's right, Popeye, I'm talking to you with your old-time drops and bad taste. How does a man working so close to Aaron the Fox with all that talent go to waste? Shame the devil, sailor, if you've wasted your time since the contraption went kaput, because if the Ohio River ain't yet named the Lemieux, I'll introduce your ass to my foot. Your musical taste was a sham and disgrace, and your timing had a beat all its own. If I had to describe you in an apt single word, I'd say you, sir, were monotone. But alas, sailor man, your disgrace is but a morsel of this evening's focus and ire. Should that cad David Feeney rear his ugly head, it's his feet I'll hold twice to the fire. What the sports contraption gave from Lurator Dave were games that put us in the know, like the Levon Kendall Memorial black or white game and a hypothetical Horatio. We all miss Dave's pining for the black and gold front four lining the enemy gates at Heinz Field. Hi and hello, ooh la la, quadruple yoy, mazel tov, Dave's passion he never concealed. And to think of one and all who regularly called, like Corolla, Moe, and the Ed. Dave interviewed the likes of Rocky Flyer and Dwight White while eating tuna fish in Jimmy Kimmel's bed. Bob Nutting, Richie and Irv, Uncle Mike, Larry Burkhead, and nephew Zach and Ben were among his guests. And the lovely Miss Cindy even birthed a little girl, baby Lemieux Crosby Oprah Damashek. If the contraption taught us anything, it's all that drove Dave crazy. Nutting, Littlefield, Bonds, the Pats, David Eckstein, the Man, Jim Tracy, the Flyers, Joe Pod, Peter King, Pete Prisco, Barbara Walters, Star Jones, the Hasselbecks. All these creeps paled in comparison to Dave's beloved 66.
Ah, what a thing. What a nice poem.
Well done.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was awesome, and now I'm sad. That was a great show. That was an awesome show we did, right?
Yeah, the sports contraption was the best show ever.
How many Emmys did you guys get for that show?
I can't even count that anymore. It wasn't about the awards, though, the Ed. It wasn't about the prizes we won.
Yeah, I didn't win any either.
Exactly. But Brandon, magnificent job, my friend. Well done.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you.
There's another bit we need to talk about that you did on the show there, Dave. The movie villain tournament. You remember that?
You know, it's so sad because we didn't even finish it. But yeah, that was awesome. It was awesome.
You basically set up like an NCAA style tournament of movie villains, and it was going on for weeks and weeks. And then
it just ran out of steam. The show got canceled there right before you revealed the winner.
The show, first of all, did not get canceled.
I'm sorry.
I quit doing the show. But
Okay.
Just for the point of and then the entire station went away 2 months later.
Yes.
Apparently still reeling from my
I don't think
refusal.
It's a coincidence, you know, that you leave town and the station goes under.
Of course.
That happens when Ted McGinley leaves. It just goes away.
that was the thing that really stands out to me off the top of my head about the movie villain tournament. Yeah, we got a million calls on that, right, Popeye? I mean, of a station that no one was listening to, and it was supposed to be a sports show, and we were and I said, who are the best movie villains of all time? We got tons of calls about it, and the thing that was shocking was after we seeded everything, you know, we had Johnny from Cobra Kai, Karate Kid, you know, Billy Zabka. He was in there, but he was only a 15 seed, and he was going up against who was he paired against there, Popeye? You remember who he was? Oh, from X-Men is who he was.
Magneto.
And it really started off a magical journey for Johnny against Magneto in the first round. Of course, Magneto can move metal. He was going to make quick work, but he is, but Magneto, played by Sir Ian McKellen, gay, smitten by the flaxen-haired, youthful look, good looks of Johnny, and before he knew what hit him, Johnny kicked his head clean off, if I remember correctly. And then Johnny just was pulling upset after upset, and he made it all the way to the Final Four, if I'm not mistaken. And
I believe so. No, I think he was facing the Predator in the semifinals there, in the Final Four.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if he would have been able to defeat Predator as well. And then, and Vader was there. Yeah, that was, we never got to finish that one.
Who was the rest of the Final Four then?
We actually have the other Final Four match.
Really? Wow.
Yes, this will be great. Larry, do you have that clip ready?
Yes.
Okay, fire away.
Hold the phone! Zod is making a move for his pocket. What's he got there? Why, it looks like a photograph of some sort. It's a picture of a nude dame. It is! It's Natalie Portman, and she's naked as a jaybird! Portman, of course, played Queen Amidalia, Vader's lover and mother of his children. Zod clearly trying to break Vader emotionally, and it's working! A single tear falls through the mask of the Sith Lord. This looks to be the end of Vader! The referee is stepping in. What's this hubbub? He's calling the fight. It appears, yes, he's disqualifying Zod. Mayhem reigns. Let's go into the ring to get the straight poop from the ref himself.
General Zod has violated Rule 3.6, subsection B. Combatants are prohibited from bringing any objects other than their own personal weapons into the ring. Therefore, at minute 244, your winner by disqualification, Darth Vader!
Shocking result, to say the least. Vader on to the finals. General Zod to be put to death by way of kryptonite. Stunning, shocking, tragic, thrilling. Back to you, Dave.
Oh, there it is. So Darth Vader beat General Zod in the semifinals.
That's a shocker.
Yeah.
That was a marathon fight. It went on forever. Because one's obviously strong with the Force, as strong as anyone ever, and then the other one's made of steel, General Zod. So how would anyone ever lose that fight? You know, and then I guess we just found out that's the reason. He showed a picture of Vader. Wonder what he was about to kill Vader by making him swoon over Queen Amidala. Oh yeah, that was a great Final Four matchup, a classic. Not as good as the junkie Josh Hamilton hitting home runs in batting practice the other night.
No, it's not that good.
If that kid wouldn't have got disqualified, I bet you he would have won all the judges' scorecards and won by anonymous decision.
And General Zod, you would have picked General Zod. Yeah, he probably would have won. But Dave, who was that announcer? Because that announcer was just wonderful.
Yeah, Marvin Sheldrake. Yeah, a real throwback to a better age of broadcasting, in my opinion. Yeah, I really like that voice. Yeah.
Are we going to be hearing any more from Marvin Sheldrake? Because I'd like that guy's great. Why isn't he on the TV? You know.
Yeah, it would be great to see. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's a recluse. You know, I'm not sure exactly what Marvin Sheldrake's story is there, but I'd stack him up there with Keith Jackson and Vince Scully is among the all, and you know, Mike Lang among the all-time great broadcasters.
Yeah. That's an old guy. That old guy is good though.
Yeah.
Now, the Ed, would General Zod, would he have been your pick to win the movie villain tournament?
You know, something I don't know nothing about comic books and crooks.
Yeah. that reminds me.
I collected baseball cards when I was a little boy. All the nerds did comic books and stuff. Gay kids did. It was all.
Well, speaking of nerds and gay kids, it just happens that right now on LCS Hockey, we're running a superhero tournament, much like
that's
the movie
gay.
Tournament. Yeah,
but you know what?
It is gay. It is.
It might be gay, but listen, did you know that Dave is legal? His marriage is legal now?
With
in
Dick
California?
Banks.
Yeah.
Dave married the Dick Banks. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a thing not too long ago about that.
That's just not true yet. I'm married to a woman, and we have a child together, so that just doesn't make any sense.
That's what you say, but that's not what I read.
But I should mention that Cousin Brandon and I were talking about getting this superhero tournament. We started it on damashek.com, your message board, Dave, and we were getting this superhero tournament together. And we were trying to decide if women should be allowed in the tournament.
Of course not.
Yeah.
You don't think so, then, huh?
Yeah, because we were split right down the middle, and I went to the wisest man I know, and I asked the Ed. And the Ed, do you remember what you said when I asked you if women should be allowed in the superhero tournament?
Of course not, I guess.
Yeah, you said no, because what do they know about flying and fighting tigers and stuff?
Who said that?
You did. And you said that, and I never even considered the ability to fight tigers as being a qualification to be in the tournament.
Well, I don't. I mean, that sounds like something that's true.
Yeah.
I don't remember saying it, but I mean, hey, I got to go with what I said. Because if I say something once, I'm going to say it twice.
Yeah, exactly. And wiser words are never spoken. So, yeah, if you want to get in on the superhero tournament, go to lcshockey.com and cast your votes.
Was it $5 to play?
No, it's free. And you can win prizes, the Ed, so why don't you should go over there and vote, and you can win a T-shirt or something.
I need extra large on a shirt.
Yeah.
See, the Ed, you always forget, you have to participate and then win something. You can't just say, I want a prize. You have to go and win something to get the prize. I think that's
I just won. I just told him I just won. He just told me. Is Mr. T in this superhero contest?
No, Mr. T did not make it. Although Mr. T was in the movie villain tournament as Clubber Lang, right?
No, you got to put him in the A-team.
Clubber Lang.
A superhero.
Who beat Clubber Lang? I don't remember that. I remember it was a great fight, though. I remember that.
I think Clubber Lang defeated Darth Maul, right? If I recall correctly. And I think Johnny from Karate Kid, did he beat Clubber Lang?
That rings a bell, yes. I'm going to have to go back and look at my brackets and see how that worked out, too. And, I remember also, there was also a big upset with Dr. Zaius, right? Didn't Zaius, it was flinging his own bowel movements at somebody. I remember that. And then they were flung back at him.
I know that occurred in the Zaius versus Johnny fight, and then I believe Johnny turned the tables on Zaius and flung the poo right back at him.
That's what it was. Zaius threw the poop. He picked it right back. You know, take that,
right.
Zaius. Take that, you damn dirty ape. And he dirtied him, but good in the eyes. And then that was it for Zaius.
Johnny
it was really
was
a ride to the Final Four.
Right
up there again with Villanova and NC State and George Mason.
And Josh Hamilton.
Well, who's the best superhero of all time?
Spider-Man.
It is interesting. So you're going to put women in there? You have Storm in there?
No, we have no women because the Ed said they can't fight tigers.
Well, that's
ISIS. You could put ISIS and Shazam in there.
Shazam is in the tournament.
Now, I forget, did Aquaman end up qualifying or no?
Yes,
because
Aquaman's got a tough first-round matchup. He faces the Hulk in round one.
So,
well, that should be a close match.
Aquaman better be a 16 seed. He can do no good out of the water.
Aquaman is a 16 seed. He faces the Hulk in round one. So it's going to be rough.
Is this singles or a tag team partner?
Singles.
The Wonder Twins, they could have been in it.
Yeah, but no Broad. One of the twins was Broad, you know.
R2-D2 and C-3PO, they could be in it.
They're not in it.
I don't think they counted as superheroes either.
Yeah. Yeah.
They was out of this world, I know that.
Yeah, oh yeah, they were.
Literally and figuratively, correct.
Now Brandon, it came up earlier, well, you mentioned it actually in your poem, about David Feeney.
Mm.
Now, would you be comfortable talking about David Feeney?
I have no beef with David Feeney, that's fine.
Because Dave, don't you think that would be like, if you had to list the all like time greatest moments in sports contraption history?
No, I wouldn't, because, you know, I've always been upset by this. There's
really?
So many people, including Dick Banks and millions of others who've weighed in about the sports contraption, about their favorite moments, always seem to say that that David Feeney's poem about Brandon, Twice She Said, it was its name. People say that's the greatest moment in history. What a slap in the face to me and to the editor and Popeye and everyone else. David Feeney rolls in there for a couple minutes, drops this poem on us, and now that's the greatest moment in the history of our show. Please.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not the greatest moment, but it's one of. I think you would agree with that, right?
Okay,
one of.
Yes. No, I found it very entertaining. Actually.
All right. Well, it just so happens that I think Larry's got a clip. Larry.
Fantastic.
Great.
It's called Twice She Said, or The Night I Banged Brandon's Wife, a love story. She told me to knock when I was outside their door. Twice she said. He was out watching Shrek the Third. He'd seen it before. Twice she said. I'm nervous, I whispered. You chain all the locks? Twice she said. He'll be gone all night. Now unchain my lockbox. Twice she said. I could tell she had finished a bottle of wine. Twice she said. I then lifted up her skirt and uncorked her from behind. Twice she said. She first asked for my lips. She had one rebel mouth. Twice she said. Then I made like General Sherman and burned through her deep south. Twice she said. Then her kid came in the room. She told her to stay. Twice she said. Don't stop now, Tiger. She's your kid anyway. Twice she said. Brandon's picture was next to us. She wanted him to watch, too. Twice she said. He refuses to touch me. Now, come on, run me through. Twice she said. As she moaned and she screamed, she begged me to kill him. Twice she said. He only gets it up when writing a Damashek poem. Twice she said. I told her, that's murder. Ain't no dame worth jail. Twice she said. Then to teach her a lesson, I dumped it in her pail. Twice she said. I finished myself off, then gave her a 50 for sushi. Twice she said. And as I walked out the door, I said, dinner's on, Jim Belushi. Twice she said.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, that is the greatest moment ever. That is the greatest poem I ever heard in my life.
Wow, that was.
It was like a song. It was like a song, like a symphony. You did that, Brandon? That was a good job, man. I'm proud of you.
No. Brandon was the target of that.
Yeah, that wasn't Brandon. Now, Brandon, how do you feel hearing that again?
I don't recall that poem. That kind of sounds like a funny guy, though.
Yeah, we should mention David Feeney is your buddy, Dave, right? And he writes for Jim Belushi on the According to Jim, correct?
That's right. Yeah, as you can see, that's why that show is regarded as maybe the funniest show in the history of sitcoms.
Yeah, whenever I make an According to Jim joke on LCS, I always feel bad since I know you have a connection to it. But I still go ahead and make the joke anyways. All right, but.
Yes, yeah, so he came over. As a matter of fact, just last night he came by and we watched that All-Star game. I really wanted to turn it off, as a matter of fact. Who cares about the stupid All-Star game? 15.
You didn't think it was pretty good, though? I thought it was
very entertaining. It was an entertaining game until you consider the fact that it's a virtually meaningless ball game. The thing that would have been spectacular, is if Terry Francona, in the midst of a pennant race or in a divisional race with the Rays, had just in the fifth inning put Scott Tavenier in on 2 days rest and just said you're going all day and all night and you're not coming out of the game. Hey, I'm the skip. What would anyone have done? Would Bud Selig have come? Would Bud Selig have descended from the box, or who would have done anything about that? Nope, I'm not taking Scott Kazmir out. I'm the skipper of the All-Star game. You can't tell me how to play my roster and just keep playing him until he's burnt out and can no longer be effective for the Rays and clinch the division then for the Red Sox.
Well, I think Bud Selig died about 2 years ago and no one told him yet. Who looks older? Who looks older, Bud Selig or Larry King? Yikes. Good Lord.
He does. And by the way, have you noticed that he's Bud Selig, I noticed out on the field after the game, standing next to Aaron Andrews, which, by the way, I always like when you see something like that. You see Bud Selig and Aaron Andrews standing side by side, and it's interesting to consider that, yes, those are the same species. That is the same animal. That's the same
thing.
Hey,
to Dave.
Yes.
Hey, to Dave.
Yes.
Do you think that pitch count thing is overrated?
The what?
The pitch count.
The pitch counts in baseball.
Oh, no, not at all. I think on 2 days rest, the guy threw 100-something pitches. He's had injury troubles in the past. He's only
now people say that, so I'm thinking Nolan Ryan must have been the first one on the steroids and HGH. Because that kid could pitch all the time. And look, he pitched till he was, what, 64?
I think so.
And he threw hard as a rock every time. How come no one ever investigate that guy for a little steroid?
That's a good point.
Because all the Steelers was doing it in the 70s, and this kid was playing in the 70s.
Don't start with the Steelers.
But the Dave, he brings up a good point. Has it tarnished your sentiments toward the old Steelers in the 70s that every offensive lineman was like on horse steroids? Is that?
Well, listen, it was a different time, and I don't remember. I was five at the time.
Not to remember those things, huh?
Well, yeah. Listen, you're an older man. When you were watching the games, everybody was on steroids. All Lyle Alzado and John Matuszak, they both died from everybody in the league was on the juice. So I listen.
Oh, I don't believe all that stuff. Just they proved all the Steelers did it. Cause listen, Terry Bradshaw's first year, he was awful. Take steroids next year, look, they start winning Super Bowls.
Well, I think it took a little longer than that. But,
I grew up in Pittsburgh. I didn't remember that he was bad his first year, and the second year they started winning Super Bowls.
They did it. You got to look up the books, man.
Yeah.
I'll
look up the books.
Yep, and Jack Lambert and Jack Ham.
Okay.
All those guys. You see how big Jack Ham was?
Yeah.
He wasn't that big.
167 pounds. They was all on that stuff.
Since Twice, you don't want to give Twice She Said the credit as the greatest moment in sports contraption history. What would be some of the moments that popped to your head right away as like
true
highlights?
I always did. You know, Brandon was huge on the show.
Yes.
Was
we should talk. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Brandon did a lot for you on that show.
We were dependent on Brandon in a lot of ways. We had Brandon in all the time. He would do the music reviews. He would do his reviews of Lost, and then the poems were always great. So that was big. Feeney would sit in. It seemed like once a week at least. That was always fun. Twice she said, all right, it ranks. It's top two or three. I think I got to say my favorite thing was, even though I know you got a little emotional about it earlier tonight, Ed, but so I don't want it to be a bittersweet thing, but when the baby got left with you those 2 weeks, I don't want to laugh at it, but it was very entertaining to me that there was a six-month-old baby who got left with you, and you were feeding it salsa and donuts and such. I for some reason found that very, very interesting. So that would rank for me. Yeah, we pretty much covered all the things that were great with the. We forgot to mention the hog was always great.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the hog. Tell people about the hog and what he did on the show.
The hog, he's a great frat dude. You know, he's one of those classic, the stereotypical frat dude kind of a guy. But for some reason, he was obsessed with reality TV, so he would come on the hog and tell us all about the week in reality TV shows, break down The Bachelor for us and stuff. We had the Sheepdog who used to come on.
The Sheepdog was great.
Gay as the day is long, the Sheepdog. Just this gay guy. He loves to talk. You know, he lives out in Hollywood, so he loves to gossip about what's going down. You know, all the hottest stuff between Brangelina and Brittany and so on and so forth. So I always like talking to him.
I wish we had a Sheepdog clip. We don't, but he was so excitable all the time. He was always...
Well, flamboyant was the word I was looking for.
Move over, Stephen Kojikaru, right? I mean, he was just a catty bitch all the time about, you know, you never wanted to wind up in his crosshairs.
He was like a gay person.
Yeah, exactly right. The ad cuts right to the heart of it. But, Dave, have you heard from the Sheepdog? Like, what's he been doing lately?
Sure, I see the Sheepdog from time to time. He always is, you know, sometimes he asks me if I want to go out clubbing. He wants to introduce me to some special friends. You know, it's just not my thing. You know, his lifestyle, I am fine with it for him. But he's always out trying to get the scoop on what the latest relationship news is in Hollywood. I always loved Uncle Mike coming on the show.
Yes.
One of
the
most knowledgeable sports guys.
Like the curmudgeon, sure.
Yeah.
Really, as knowledgeable a Pittsburgh sports fan as there is. And he would join us all the time. That was always fun. That was, I guess, the most fun thing, too. Always, so whether it was Brandon or Uncle Mike or my sister, always hard up for a date.
You tried to set up your sister with a regular caller, Josh from Butler. Not to
That's
be confused
right.
with
yeah, Josh
the Butler.
Was great. It really was. It was having all my friends and family on all the time. What spectacular performances out of these people on a regular basis. Did you say, no one's listening, let's get a show going and we'll put all our favorite people on the radio, and for them to all be spectacular, everybody funny and entertaining, and that was the best part of the show, I thought.
I
don't know if you mentioned two other, but Richie and Irv were fantastic.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I love Irv. Were always
just,
good.
And just
a great
caller was Elaine, the cab driver.
She came up earlier. She was unbelievable.
Oh, did she? Oh, she was.
She was really good.
We should say that Richie and Irv were the Pittsburgh Pirate correspondents. They're reporters.
Exactly. Yes, Richie and Irv, and
it was great hearing them because they were just fans, you know. That's what I liked about the sports contraption, Dave. I hope you take this as a compliment, but you're not. You're just a fan, you know. That's the way I always saw it. You weren't trying to be a journalist, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how that was the root of LCS. When we started LCS, we were just hockey fans. We didn't want to be journalists. We just wanted to write about hockey and talk hockey. And so that's why I had that connection right away when I heard your show. Because I'm like, oh, this guy's just like us. And that's why I like about Richie and Irv. They're just guys talking about the Pirates. You know?
That's exactly, yeah. And by the way, I've done it, I've done it since doing the show out here. You know, you go into some of these locker rooms, it's really to desire doing this for a living, you'd have to be crazy. These steamy locker rooms with men half naked or completely naked, asking them questions about how are you going to break a three-game losing streak in the locker room. There's no fun in that at all. It's better to have some distance from them so you can just recklessly speculate about what's wrong with them rather than hearing it from the horse's mouth. That was always my philosophy. Much easier, lazier way to go is to just sit back and never actually interact with these guys, but just make stuff up about what their problems are.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait, can I chime in with a question real quick? In relation to that, so who have you met in a locker room that you could just tell is most hateful towards a journalist? Like, who really dislikes?
Well, the reputation of Jeff Kent is Jeff Kent. Jeff Kent literally said, we were talking to him about Valentine's Day, you know, what would he do if I were his lady? Well, how would he treat me for Valentine's Day? And he said, just so you know, I don't go in for silly radio bits. To be that self aware that you're a jerk, you know, to announce like, hey, I have absolutely no sense of humor. Just so you know.
But Dave, I find that shocking because when Jeff Kent came on your show there in L.A., he was just wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know what the story was that day. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was nervous when he did join us, right? But he ended up, Juan Pierre had made a mistake in the ninth inning the night before, and he had baked them some blondies and everything. It was a different side of Jeff Kent. You're right about that. But for the most part, the best guys are Popeye. Actually, it is a funny thing that now we talk to Torrey Hunter and guys like that, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and everything else. But at the time, in 3 months, Popeye got us. We had who did we have? We had John Van Benskoten, and we had who else? We had Neil Walker and Andrew McCutcheon. So we had a couple of minor leaguers.
You had another pitcher, Shane Yeoman. Shane Yeoman.
Shane Yeoman. The night that was your best get, Popeye. His first major league win, and we said, "Well, this is the start of something. What a thing!" And I said, if I remember saying something to the effect of Shane Yeoman, even if you never have another major league victory, at least you will always be able to say you did win one game in the bigs. And it does look like that was a prescient remark, because it looks like that is going to be his one and only career victory. So what a special occasion. We talked to the guy, but then also talking to. Actually, the best things we talked to Rocky Blyer and Dwight White. Those were the two.
Yeah.
Best. So those were awesome. And by the way, talking about those steel curtain statues outside the Heinz Field, the way they both went gaga for it was something. Like, hey, I love that idea. Whatever I can do to help you out with that, that's a great idea. I really do say, a year later, that if a year removed from the sports contraption, I bet you. That about 2 years from now, that was always my thing, Popeye. Didn't I always say, I bet you that if we stick with this, 2 or 3 years from now, those statues will get built. Because what's the downside to it? Now, what Pittsburgh fan would ever say, yeah, no, I don't like that idea. No, I don't like the idea of having statues of the Steel Curtain, the original front four of the Steel Curtain, outside of Heinz Field. It eventually would have happened, especially with Rocky Blyer and Dwight White behind it. Yeah, those were the two best interviews we had.
Oh, well, Popeye, we're still in town. Should we pick up the cause? Should we?
I think you should, fellas.
Yes. Please do. Absolutely. Yeah.
How many signatures?
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do, Dave. We'll try and.
Popeye, how many signatures did we get on that petition?
I was thinking. Wasn't it up near 600?
Something like that. Yeah. It was. That was a. A righteous cause, if there ever was one. I really like that.
And you think after the unfortunate passing of Dwight White, it would, like, you know, get more momentum to build the statues, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
considering...
you think it's like the Beatles. Two out of four are gone now.
Yeah.
We really only had four people listening to the show, and to have 600 people sign the petition was just amazing.
I was just wondering about that.
Yeah, right.
Now, Popeye, what other moments in the contraption history stood out for you? Anything? I know the last time we talked, because Popeye's been on the show before, I think you brought up the night that David Feeney had that broad with him. What was her name?
Rory.
Yeah.
Who,
Rory,
by the way,
connection is definitely one of my top moments. I mean, for God knows what reason, she was so adamant about not playing along. At the little fake date that we had set up with a caller, it just got absurd, and it was radio gold, but it was good stuff. David Feeney ended up going on a date with caller David, and actually it was just I just listened to this segment the other day, and it is definitely as relevant and humorous today.
And
a couple of points
about that. First of all, that Rory was in fact pretty foxy, and two, she is now a multimillionaire.
Really?
If you recall, at the time she was talking about her little red book, which was called Skinny Bitch. It was for vegans or something. I think is what it was. It was a way to live the vegan lifestyle kind of thing. And 6 or 8 weeks after she was on the show with us, it blew up, the book. I mean, like, all sorts of celebrities started reading it. She's been on all sorts of talk shows, the Today Show, Ellen DeGeneres, and all those kind of things, and is as I say, a multimillionaire now. Has a second book deal and everything else. But that night, she was so upset that we kept trying to make her go on a blind date with somebody on the radio, with one of the callers, that she... she and David Feeney drove in front of me as we left because we were going to a ball game. We had to drop her off, and then we were going to go to a ball game that night. I could see her. It's not like their boyfriend or girlfriend or anything. She's sitting in the passenger seat, wagging her finger and screaming at him. I could see it. I could see it right in front of him. And so I kept calling him on the cell phone. I kept calling him, and he wouldn't answer it. But he knew it was me calling him. And she was livid, yelling at him. And she apparently, a year later, David Feeney is not allowed to mention my name in front of me. Because he ended up rolling over on me to get back in her good graces. Well, it wasn't me. It was Damashek's show that happened on, so don't blame me for it. And
what
so
a
now
weasel.
They're good again, but I'm on the – my name can't be spoken in her presence.
Well, then her name of her book must have been
yeah.
the right thing, huh?
No, that's exactly right, Dan. That's exactly
that would have been magic if you could have set up the Rory there with the Ed on a blind date.
They would be a perfect duo. You'd be a vegan, right, the Ed?
A what?
A vegan. Forget about the hot dogs and hamburgers. It's just, you know, this is good, you know, eating a healthy lifestyle, you know, no meat. You know?
Now, that's ridiculous. I don't know why people would go and not eat meat right. and stuff like that. Because, I mean, if you don't have that, you're not going to have no vegetables.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, I am a vegan.
Is that true?
yeah, absolutely. I was a vegan for like 10 years, and then I had to give it up like 3 years ago because I was having all sorts of health problems. I
you
wonder
don't,
why.
Listen, you're getting me worried, man. You don't
yeah.
eat meat, and you... hockey and comic books, this not adding up right.
That's not a good combination,
not,
is it?
I'm
vegan,
not sure.
Hockey, and comic books, it's trouble. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm back being a vegan just like 6 weeks ago, or not even, like maybe a month ago, I switched back to being a vegan. Yeah.
Hey,
now,
by
what
the
did
way,
you do for those 3 years?
So
I was eating organic turkey and organic chicken.
Oh, poor. I hear, by the way.
I just eat a picture of a turkey.
Were you one of those guys then who like Rory just didn't wash herself or you?
No.
That was her thing. She didn't because it was the whole thing. It was a very
really
pure natural lifestyle. She didn't she didn't use deodorant. She didn't use perfumed soaps or anything. Yeah, she would just rinse
but
herself.
She was
foxy
nonetheless. So.
Yeah.
Did she look like a homeless woman or?
She looked good, but yeah, apparently, if you got too close, it wasn't very good.
Hey, listen, the Dave, listen, how much would it take if I give you $5,000? Would you make it with a homeless woman? Without her taking a bath?
You got the $5,000.
Yeah,
he
does.
Couldn't take a bath?
She can't take no bath, though. Would you do it?
For five large?
Yeah, come
what
on.
What do
Dave.
I have to do? What, when you say that, what do I have to do?
Oh, that's gross.
Second base, is that enough? Or no? I got to go all the way.
But, Dave, we were talking the ladies with the Ed a couple weeks ago.
Ah.
And we were trying to figure out the ugliest woman on TV. And
oh, yeah, you got to hear this. Let me ask Dave real quick. Listen, Dave, who is better looking? Sarah Parker Jessica or... Miss Jane from Beverly Hillbillies. Who's better looking?
It's a dead heat. Wow, no winners.
Exactly. Exactly.
No matter who wins, we lose. Just like Alien Predator. Yeah.
They said Miss Jane was better looking. These kids was outrageous.
What about Miss B?
Well,
Aunt B is one of the ugliest TV people of all time.
I'll tell you who else I'm with. You know, I was always with, on more levels than one, one of my favorite TV characters of all time, Mr. Roper. I was with him. His wife was just awful. Just
yeah, we were talking about
no,
that.
No, I liked her. She was spunky. She, you know what? I could see her in a whirlpool with me at night.
Or what about... you also had definitely should be in the running is for at least for a woman who got around quite a bit was if you remember from Alice, Flo.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
she
Flo.
Was she was the trailer.
I didn't say name the hottest women of all time.
Oh, I must be confused then. I'm
yeah.
sorry. I guess.
Well,
how about Carla from Cheers? Did she get?
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
She was on there.
But the Ed, the Ed came down between Aunt B and the mother from Good Times. They were the
Florida, really?
Yeah, Florida.
If you painted Aunt B black, she'd look just like her. They looked the same. It was just awful. Just awful.
I can't disagree, the Ed. Yeah,
well, what about the other one you said, Esther from Sanford and Son, right?
Yeah, she used to be a stripper in St. Louis. Can you believe that? That's a true, true story. That's how Red Fox met her. She was a stripper in St. Louis.
Is that right?
I wouldn't give her two nickels.
Oh, by the way, we forgot to ask you last week, the Ed. The Ed was in Vegas, and he told us that he likes to go to a strip club with handicapped strippers. Right, the Ed?
Yeah.
Wait,
isn't that interesting? That's it's closed down.
Oh, they closed it down.
Yeah,
do
I
mean?
Tried to
what
find
mean?
It.
Like it, handicapped in what way?
One girl got one leg, and she'd hop around on her legs. She'd take a shirt off, though. The other girl in a wheelchair, and she'd roll right up on you and shake around. And, you know, the girl, they got one girl with no arms.
Well, how does she get naked, the Ed? Hello? The Ed? How does she get naked, then, if she has no arms?
I don't know. I don't know how she does it. She got to wear some kind of slip.
But the Ed said they would throw change up on the stage instead of dollar bills, right? And then, but,
yep.
That's why the Ed's been great to have on the
show.
They
took it all. They took, you know, the lady had the little thing that squirted out the quarters right on her thing. And she go, you need change for a dollar? I said, yep. And she'd give it. You
so,
get four quarters for a dollar.
So the Ed's been a big star here on the
yeah.
podcast, and
yeah, he's been on like 5 weeks in a row or 6 weeks in a row, huh? The
that's
Ed,
fantastic, and he's you know I've been keeping tabs on the Damashek.com message board there. Oh, and by the way, who will be listening to this? The five of us will go back and listen to it.
That'll be about it. on a good night, because I don't even know if I'm going to listen to it.
But
to
it
honest.
Does seem like a lot of people go back and have been listening to it from the stuff I've read there. But I got to start one of these of my own. This would be this seems like a lot of fun. This podcast.
It's great because you can just say whatever you want, and what are they going to do? You know?
Yeah,
really.
It's a lot of fun. Fantastic. And believe it or not, we've gone 2 hours now.
I know. We got to wrap it up. I can't thank you enough for coming on, Dave.
Oh,
really
sure thing. See what an empty life I lead out here in exciting L.A.? I spent 2 hours talking about a radio show that no one heard that was on for 3 months, except for the five of us are the only people who ever heard it. But
the Sports Contraption, once again, it was the best radio show I've ever heard.
Hey, the Dave.
Yes, the Ed.
I'll be at the Fox Hills Mall tomorrow about 11 o'clock. I got to go shopping. Listen, I want to let everybody know this is true. There's only about 200 more shoplifting days till Christmas.
All right, the Ed. Well, the Ed, we'll let you go now, the Ed, so you can get started on shoplifting. Thank you so much for calling, and I'll be in touch, the Ed. Thank you so much.
You guys be good, and don't let nobody talk bad about you, and don't, you know, kick nobody. And take a good night's sleep. Bye-bye.
Hey,
bye,
the Ed, and I'll be back on the radio next Monday, so I hope we'll hear from you over there in L.A.
Nah, she ain't going to let me on, so.
All right, well, we'll see.
But
we'll
I'll try to call you, and if not, I'll put out a signal for you.
Okay, terrific.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, or maybe we'll see each other at the Fox Hills Mall tomorrow.
Yes,
my ear's burning. I got to go. My ears are too burnt on.
It's been a long show. Thanks,
too
the
long.
Ed. There goes the Ed. And Cousin Brandon, you're wonderful as always. Dave, I don't know, Cousin Brandon's been helping us out on the show as well, doing top 11 lists with us.
And yeah, I know. It's fantastic. And, and what a marvelous poem tonight, really.
Yeah.
Banner work out of them, as usual.
Thanks again. I've been somewhat lax the last few weeks, and they've been quite accommodating. My work schedule has not allowed me to come on. But I will return in full force, I promise you. So,
hey, we're thinking about... Larry's booing. But we were thinking about doing a special show on Saturday because Larry's going to go see the big new Batman movie. Right, Larry?
Oh,
I'm excited. Very excited.
I want to go myself on. I want to go see the a Friday matinee since I've got this week off. I'd love to do that myself. Yeah, I can't wait for that one. That's going to be spectacular, right?
I think we're going to do a special Saturday show, and Larry's going to review it for us. And then we're going to do top 11 Batman villains. I think so.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I would be quite interested in that. That's a great
King Tut.
Yeah, don't ruin it, Dave. Don't ruin it. All but right. Yeah, if you guys want to call and get in on the top 11 action, feel free, Brandon. You can call in.
Perhaps I will. And I do want to just say that was a timely comment by the Ed telling him he put out a signal for Dave. I couldn't help but thinking what his bat signal might look like.
A bottle or a ripple.
That'd be awesome. All right, Brandon. Give us a call. I think Saturday at 8, I think we're doing it, right, Larry?
That is correct.
All right, so if you feel like calling Brandon, feel free.
Okay,
or otherwise,
I will do my best to do so. But, gentlemen, have a nice evening. Dave, take care. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks so much. All right, all the best.
There he is.
Cousin
Brandon.
Fellas. Bye now.
And Popeye, you still there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Popeye. Just thank you so much for coming on again, Popeye, and organizing everything like you did. And you know you're always welcome here. Great job, buddy.
Well, I appreciate it, gentlemen. You guys are, I told you before, and I'll say it again, you're doing God's work here. And,
it's for the kids. It's for the kids.
Please, keep the faith, keep it strong, and I definitely will make many more return appearances because you guys know how to treat guests good. So.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, Popeye, you want to get on the Batman action, feel free to call.
Hey, Popeye, by the way, Popeye, this thing about the you sound like, you know how to treat guests right. Where else have you been a guest? among the myriad radio shows that I've guested on, you guys really are right up there. You're in my top 10 for sure.
Well, if they're the only one, then they have to be up there, right?
All right, good point.
Yeah. Popeye, Dave, I don't know if you know this, but Popeye, the first time he was on, he told us he used to make robots when he was back in school, like in third grade or something. He was in USA Today for making a robot.
Right, is Popeye? That right?
No, he was on the USA Channel.
What was it, Popeye?
It was the Kids in a Minute segment on the USA Network.
Oh,
yeah, I did make a robot in third grade, correct.
Wow, certainly one of the sweetest fellows around, Popeye.
Sadly, we probably would have gotten around to that on the contraption.
We definitely would have. That was Popeye. That was, but I know we're wrapping up. But the one thing I'll say is that was always the one good thing about Popeye. I was all over him. You know, I was verbally abusive to him. And then about the fourth or fifth week, as Popeye was really rounding into shape of realizing that I was going to be beating him up on the show quite a bit and stuff. And he was getting, he was getting better and better every show with, all the different production and all the different stuff. And I was disparaging him still. And Popeye said, Dave, really sheepishly, Dave, my friends and family really are having a hard time listening to the show because you're so mean to me all the time. And could you tone that down a little bit? And I said, no, I can't tone that down. We got real.
That shows what a sweetheart he is. I had friends and family that considered putting a hit out on Dave, and I didn't want to see anything like that happen. So I needed that to.
Maybe you should have called Ed's son. The Ed's son might have done it for you,
Yeah, no, that was frightening. Him and I are. The Ed and I are on good terms, but I've yet to see his son again after I lost him there down in Homestead.
But it was just great having you and Dave together because it was like Sonny and Cher being back together. Remember when they reunited on Letterman that night?
Of course, yeah.
It was awesome. And
Popeye, I got you, Popeye. Listen, I said it before, Popeye, after all, fancy L.A. and everything else, Popeye's still one of the most talented fellas that I've worked with. So he's a sweet fella as well, just a little bit of a wuss. Can't take
God bless you, Dave Damashek.
Yeah, but you remember all those hot broads he was running around with and the Popeye Rotsy?
That's right, the Popeye Rotsy. That's exactly right.
B. Arthur and
well, listen, I enjoyed this sufficiently. I really we got to kibitz. Let's get a nice podcast going and some sort of a separate website thing going.
We're here to help, buddy. We got your back.
Anything you need,
pictures
you let us know.
Of dynamite and everything else. Yeah, so let's we'll talk about that. But yeah, wonderful time, fellas. Wonderful time tonight. I, as you can tell, though, like I said, I'm on vacation. I'm also on vacation from being funny this week. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're great. I can't thank you enough for spending the whole 2 hours. That's a long time, 2 hours. But it flew right by, didn't it?
It was
great.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Right. Well, there they are. Dave, thanks so much. Have a good
Al,
enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thank you much. And
we'll be in touch.
Larry, wonderful to meet you over the telephone. Al, nice to finally speak with you. And Popeye, I'm sure we'll be apping at some point soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gentlemen, take care. Thank you so much.
Oh, you might want to hang on the phone. If Larry can play the closing song, I think you might enjoy the closing song.
Yes.
But thanks, Popeye. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Big Sports Contraption reunion. We'll keep we'll keep hope alive that the Sports Contraption will one day return to its former glory.
Okay. Anything's possible.
Yeah, anything's possible. All right, Larry, sign us off.
Sing it, Eagle. All
right. We'll be back Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Tune in then. Until then, pass the gin, Governor.
Until then, it's Dave Damashek on the Sports Contraption on 93.7 The Zone. It's been a thin slice of heaven, Pittsburgh.
The world has seen many fierce rivalries. Ali versus Frazier, Tom versus Jerry, Rosie versus Blondie, what's her name? And now there's Cousin Brandon versus Popeye the producer. May the best geek win.
Let's face it, Popeye, you're a sad little guy who is wasting away in the studio. If I had to wager, you are a high school drum major and your favorite song is Phil Collins' The Studio.
Brandon, I'm sure you're a great, connoisseur of music, but really, as far as this job goes, probably only got it, because of a little thing called nepotism.
You should pull the ripcord as you're lost at your board and you can't find the Han Solo blaster. Like Zod to Superman, I now give my command, Popeye, kneel down to your master.
Well, speaking of strength, I really also don't think that one of yours happens to be writing poems.
Thank you very much.